Turn with me to Genesis chapter 21. We're going to be looking at verses 22 through 34, the last section in chapter 21. I was reading earlier this morning a familiar passage in 2 Timothy. And it says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." I think we're in those days. There are people in the churches today that want their ears tickled. It means that they want to hear what makes them feel good, rather than sound biblical teaching of the Bible that molds and guides our lives. That's the tragedy in the Christian life. And I'm thankful, and I think you should be too, that over the years, our church, Believers Chapel, has been committed to preaching through the Bible, verse by verse, and letting the Holy Spirit mold us, and not to just preach to what we think people will like to bring the crowds. And so we're here again this morning, looking at God's Word, going through Genesis, and hopefully it will meet you where you are in your life. And the Holy Spirit will use it to guide and direct you. I've titled our message today, "God's Involved in Our Everyday Affairs." He is. He's involved in our everyday affairs. And let's go ahead and read, starting in verse 22 of chapter 21. "At that time Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, 'God is with you in all that you do. Now, therefore, swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my descendants or with my posterity. But as I have dealt kindly with you, so you will deal with me and with the land where you have sojourned.' And Abraham said, 'I will swear.' And when Abraham reproved Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized, Abimelech said, 'I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, and I have not heard of it until today.' And so Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a covenant. And Abraham set seven ewe lambs of the flock apart. And Abimelech said to Abraham, 'What is this meaning of these seven ewe lambs that you've set apart?' And he said, 'These seven ewe lambs you will take from my hand, that this may be a witness for me that I dug this well.' Therefore that place was called Beersheba, because they're both of them sworn oath." And so they made a covenant at Beersheba, and then Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, rose up and returned to the land of Philistines, and Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned many days in the land of Philistines." God's involved in our everyday affairs. 3 points in our outline today. First, verses 22 through 24 is that people notice. People notice your life and they're looking at it. Second, point we want to make in our outline, verses 25 through 32, is that protection is obtained. And then lastly, verses 33 and 34, praise is given. So we'll look at first people notice, then protection obtained, and praise given. We have a tendency, I know I do, to believe that God is really only involved in our lives in spiritual things, don't we? It seems that we have an inclination to think that God works in the church on Sunday, but when it comes to Monday through Saturday, we're on our own. I believe many Christians have a hard time reconciling the fact that God is just as occupied in our everyday affairs as He is in our spiritual lives. And our passage today is a wonderful reminder. It's wonderful evidence that our Lord is engaged in our daily dealings with all people, believers and non-believers alike. And He's with us in all our undertakings. Just another admonition of the importance of keeping Him first in our lives. So we come to our first point. And it may be the key one this morning. Because if we miss this, we may miss everything. And that is that people notice. Look what it says. Verse 22. Now it came about at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham saying, God is with you in all that you do. You remember, Abimelech's already had dealings with Abraham back in Genesis 20. He caught Abraham in a lie. You remember that? Abraham was lying about his wife being his sister. And so it's interesting, isn't it, that Abimelech is now showing this respect and this high regard for Abraham. After all, Abraham was not forthcoming. He wasn't telling the truth. He was shading the truth from Abimelech. But it tells me that although Abraham wasn't perfect, he made mistakes just like we do. There was a countenance and there was a way about Abraham that was unique to the world. Abimelech saw that. There must have been a humility and a peace, even with this lie and this misunderstanding, that Abimelech noticed in Abraham's life. Now, you almost never see a man of the world admit he's wrong. I mean, it's really hard for people to admit they're wrong. I mean, even when people know they're wrong, it's amazing to me the kind of apologies you get. Not really a real apology. Well, if I was wrong or if I upset you, then I'm sorry. But I can imagine that when Abimelech caught Abraham in his lie, it froze Abraham. There was something different in his reaction. There was humility. He was contrite. He was in agreement that he was in error and then he was in sin. And this, I'm sure, impressed Abimelech. He didn't deny it. He didn't run from it. Probably just acknowledged it. And so he probably saw in Abraham something different, especially when he caught him in this wrong. Or maybe the fact that God had granted Abraham so much wealth. He had a lot of power. He had a lot of wealth. Maybe that was a contributing factor to the respect that Abimelech gave him. Or it could have been Abimelech, you know, he knew that the battle when Abraham gathered all the members of his household and went against those warring kings, they'd been walking and warring and ruining people. And Abraham takes those servants in his house and he goes out and he hammers those warring kings, captures Lot back. Maybe that was part of his respect for Abraham. But look at the result. Look at verse 23. Now therefore swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my descendants. Abimelech was bound and determined to not be at odds with Abraham. That's really interesting to me. He wanted a treaty. He wanted peace. He wanted to be on the same side as Abraham because he knew there was something different in his life. He knew there was power in Abraham's life that he didn't have. He was a king. And the point is that people will notice and do notice men and women who are true believers that walk with God. You may not know it. But people notice those who live with God, who walk with God in their daily lives. And why do they sit up and take note? Why do they? Because there's a huge difference. There is something different about a man or a woman that walks with God. And we see this. I think it's just great. We look through the Bible and we see this all through Scripture. Let me give you a couple examples. Later in Genesis 26, we'll get there, in verse 28, Abimelech is visiting with Isaac. And listen to what he says to Isaac, Abraham's son. 26:28. We saw clearly that the Lord was with you. As far as we know, this was a pagan king. We saw clearly, Isaac, that the Lord was with you. So we said, there ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty. So he sees it in Isaac. Do you remember Jacob with Uncle Laban? Over in Genesis 30:27. And Laban said to him, Jacob, the Lord has blessed me because of you. He sees the Lord in Jacob. Then Joseph, remember the story, he's a slave in Potiphar's house, working for him. Genesis 39, verse 3. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. That's power, isn't it? I mean, that's power. And then I think of Moses after he came down from Mount Sinai. You remember that? He's been with the Lord on Mount Sinai. The Lord's been giving him the law, and he comes down. He's been spending time with the Lord. It says, and he came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he was speaking with him. And so when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. You see, there is something powerful that the world notices when we walk with our Lord. And the point is, when we immerse ourselves with Him, when we study and we meditate and we pray, people in the world will see and sense a difference. I think it's a peace. I think it's part of it. I think it's a countenance. I think it's something you may not even realize. It's a demeanor. It's something unique and special, and it's supernatural. It's sometimes hard to put our hands around. But it's real, and people notice. Proverbs 16:7 says this, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, does that motivate you? It does me. It motivates me to want to spend time with the Lord, to pray, to meditate, to walk with Him, to say, Lord, fill me with Your Spirit so that I can make a difference in the world. Now, when Proverbs says this, obviously it speaks in general terms because we know that the world is in opposition. We're going to have opposition if we're Christians. But when we walk with the Lord and please Him, God will make our way distinctive in this world and where we live. And God promises to honor those who honor Him. And people will see blessings in your life and they'll wonder what it is. Because of Abraham's life and his wholehearted commitment to the Lord, Abimelech noticed God was with him in all he did. I want that, don't you? Let me ask you a question. Do your roommates or your teammates notice that God is with you? Your sorority, your fraternity, your associates, do they see a difference in your life? Do your family members and your friends know that you have godly beliefs, and do they see something different? I'm not talking about a holier-than-thou attitude, not a legalistic attitude. Is there something attractive in your life that they want? A real virtue. People see God's grace in your life, and they wish that they had it. Do you live your life in such a way that people admire you and respect your honesty and they respect your character and they respect your love for others and they respect the fact that you deny yourself? And they love the wisdom, the words you speak and the peace in your life. Is that a goal? It should be. It's amazing power. It's astonishing influence that can permeate your life. And that's what God desires in your life. And the world will see and notice the faithful men and women in the unbelieving world is always watching us and watching you more than you know. Never forget that. So I ask you, will you examine yourself? Consider, what are people noticing about you? Is there something about you that non-believers notice? There needs to be. I think we need to commit to being God's Word. We need to commit to walk with Him. That's where the power comes from. To be faithful, even when it's difficult. That's when we need to do it the most. And then, you will reflect God's character in the sphere of influence that God's given you, and people will notice. The king noticed there was a difference in Abraham. And now, because of the standing of Abraham in Abimelech's mind, there is an issue with Abraham's water well, and Abimelech wants to make peace after Abraham brings it up. And look, that's our next point. Protection is obtained. Verse 25. But Abraham complained. This is in the Hebrew, means to determine what is right. And so Abraham approaches Abimelech to right the wrong because of this water well. You know how valuable water was? Especially back then in those days in the desert, there was very, very little rainfall. And water was extremely valuable. I mean, it even is today. I opened up the Dallas Morning News, front page of the metro section. I read in huge bold letters, fears rising as lake levels fall today. And it states that without significant rainfall over the coming months, most of Collin County and portions of Dallas adjoining counties to the east could be out of easily available water by next summer. How about that? That gets my attention. And it goes on to say, this will require radical and expensive steps to keep the faucet running. What they're saying is, even where we live today, there may come a time if we don't have significant rainfall that when we turn the faucet on, we don't have water that comes out like we do now. That'd be serious to your life, wouldn't it? So Abraham had drilled this water well, and it was serious to him and his servants and his family to be able to drink water and have water, but it was an agrarian society, and the livestock needed it as well. It was critical. It was the major artery. And so you can imagine, Abraham stressed out. I mean, we don't know how big a well this was. It could have been 50, 60, 70, 80% of all the water. We don't know, but it was huge. It's recorded in Holy Scripture. Life-threatening. And we read in verse 25 that the servants of Abimelech had seized the water well that Abraham had dug. So Abraham says, all right, Abimelech, we got to right the wrong. Right's right, wrong's wrong. And being a godly man, man of character, Abraham wants justice. He didn't sit on his hands. I'm sure he prayed. But he got after it. And he goes to Abimelech and says, hey, sitting right. Verse 26, Abimelech says this, I don't know who's done this thing. You didn't tell me, nor did I hear it until today. Now, it's hard to imagine that the king doesn't know what his servants have done. So we're not sure if he really knew and he's just negotiating. Good guy, bad guy. I'm sorry I didn't realize it happened. We're not sure what happened. But he's backing up. He's throwing his hands up. He's saying, hey, I don't know. Let me check it out. Back of all this, though, I want you to notice how God is protecting Abraham. God's moving in Abimelech's life and in his heart. And Abimelech wants to make a covenant and a promise with Abraham to not take his well. Look at 27. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. Now this is all done because Abimelech wants peace with Abraham, and God is using this to protect his man and to protect his descendants and to protect his family. God was providing for Abraham's basic human need for water. And not only was God protecting Sarah from being taken away from Abraham, but he's also protecting some basic human needs that he has to have. That's what God does for you. That's what God does for me. Our lives as believers and everything in them are under God's providential care. Even when things seem so wrong, God is faithful to provide our fundamental needs, our basic needs. And we read in verse 28, Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said, what do these 7 ewe lambs mean? Verse 30, and he said, you shall take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand so that it may be a witness to me that I dug this well. So Abraham brings these gifts. He gathers up these ewe lambs, brings these gifts, which implies he is the beneficiary of this peace pact and treaty. And the gifts, the ewe lambs, are sort of like this earnest money to a contract. They signify a guarantee. No further violation of Abraham's rights to this water well. And when Abimelech accepts the gift, he's acknowledging that Abraham's rights are to the well. And therefore, he called that place Beersheba, which means well of the 7. Because there the two of them took an oath, and so they made a covenant at Beersheba, and Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, rose and returned to the land of the Philistines. Abimelech is wanting and agreeing to be Abraham's friend. That's his desire. Because of the life that Abraham lived, because of the difference that he saw in Abraham's life, because of the unique power that was visible in Abraham's life, he said, I want to be on your side. I don't want to be against you. I want friendship. And they're agreeing to this covenant of loyalty between one another, even when they have these fundamental differences. One is a man of the world, and one is a man of the Lord. And yet, they come together in this agreement. And notice the fact that the commander of the army was with him. That indicates that they wouldn't rebel or fight against Abraham. This is God's wonderful protection for Abraham and his household. So, our first point is that people notice if you're walking with the Lord, there's something unique. Second is that God protects us. It's granted to us as believers. He tells us that. Tells us and reminds us that a life of obedience, one that walks with God, gets God's blessings. God protects us. I read this illustration. The early American Indians had a unique practice of training young braves. On the night of a boy's 13th birthday, after learning hunting and scouting and fishing skills, he was put to one final test. The young Indian was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he'd never been away from the security of his family, never been away from the security of the tribe. But on this night at 13, he was blindfolded and taken several miles away. And when he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of a thick woods that was really terrifying. Every time a twig snapped, he visualized a wild animal that was ready to attack him. And what After what seemed like an eternity, dawn broke and the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers, trees, and the outline of a path. And then to his utter astonishment, he observed the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow, and it was his father. He had been there all night long protecting him. You see, that's a picture of what God does with us. We may not see it, and we may not know it, but He is there protecting us. And just as God protected Abraham with his most basic fundamental needs of water, He protects you. We all have difficulties. He doesn't protect us from every single difficulty. I'm not saying that. But God protects us from so much more we don't consider. Can you think of the ways He protects you? He protects you while you sleep. He protects you by providing food and water. He protects you from potential car wrecks, from evil, from certain diseases that you're not even aware of. He protects you from certain weather events. He protects you from so much danger that you have no idea. Just think of all the danger that could befall you. God protects you from those. Most of them. Years ago, my father-in-law was supposed to be on a company plane to the East Coast. Something came up. He had a conflict. He could not make the trip. And the plane crashed, killing all aboard. God was protecting him until his time was up. I can remember years ago, my mother was at an intersection on a highway. Light was red, it turns green, and she said for some reason she didn't go. And at that moment, an 18-wheeler comes flying through the red light, which would have instantly killed her. You see, God is protecting you. And He's protecting me from so many things. And we need to stop and realize that. That He's there protecting us in all that we do. So remember, if you miss a plane flight, He may be protecting you. If your car won't start, He may be delaying your travel for protection. If you miss a party or an event you wanted to attend, He may be protecting you from some sort of danger or harm. If you're detoured in any way from what you desire, remember God's protecting you. He's like a father standing watch over you, protecting you wherever you go and whatever you do. And as we trust Him and obey His words, like Abraham, He leads us beside quiet waters. He guides us in paths of righteousness. He protects and provides for us, just like Psalms 23 says. He took care of the basic essential needs of the life of Abraham, and He is doing that for you. So naturally, we come to the last point. After he sees what God has done for him, you know what Abraham does? Look in verse 33 through 34. He plants a tamarisk tree at Beersheba. A tamarisk tree is known as a salt cedar tree. And so he wants to plant this tree that can grow as high as 25 feet. And he wants to do it because he wants to give praise and worship to God. Because looking back through his life, all the things he'd done, all the times he didn't trust Him. And looking back, how God had been with him in every circumstance. He wanted to set up a memorial. This is a symbol of God's shading presence. It's a landmark to God's grace. And it was a visible witness of praise and worship to God as a reminder of all the things that God had done for Abraham. And the tree that God had given him with Abimelech. Then we read, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Abraham refers to God here by what he has done. The name here, everlasting, has to do with his immutability and his changelessness. It's the meaning in Psalms 100, verse 5. This is wonderful. Jot this verse down. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. Everlasting. Forever. His goodness, His faithfulness never changes. Never. Isaiah speaks of it again in Isaiah 40:28. Here's what he says. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is what? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Abraham recognizes this. It is God everlasting. Times change. People change. Things change. But God is timeless and He never changes. His promises never change. They're the same for you as they are Abraham. We can always count on His Word. He's always faithful. He's always reliable. He never gets tired of helping us, guiding us, protecting us, and blessing us. And so Abraham plants this tree as a constant reminder. Walks and sees it. That is a reminder that God is everlasting and always keeps His promises and never changes. When Dad died 9 years ago, I had a friend of mine send me a tree, a dogwood tree, and we planted it on the right side of our front porch. And there was a plaque that was made, and it sits at the base of the tree. And it is a reminder that every time we walk in that house, the kids see, and I see as my father and their grandfather, that he was a faithful man of the Lord, that he lived a godly life, and that he is at home with his Father. See, it was a reminder. We need those, don't we? Abraham knew it. He wanted to be able to remember for years what God had done, because when we get into trouble, and when times are difficult, how easy is it to forget? But God is always faithful, and He protects us. We need to give Him praise for that. You know, someone wrote this, we are like ships on the ocean without a compass. We don't know. We don't know where we're going. We can't see the future. We don't know what's coming, but God does. His promises are real. He promises to take care of us, to give us direction, to never ever fail us. And He brings trials and difficulties to us, just like He did Abraham, to develop our faith. And so Abraham praises God because He is with us and with him for all eternity. We can trust Him. And so what is going on in your life that's concerning you? In your everyday affairs? There's 100 things. Got to be 100 things. What's bringing you anxiety and worry? God's there. Take it to Him. Rest in Him, trust in Him, because He is your Lord, the same Lord that Abraham trusted. Just as God was involved in Abraham's everyday affairs of life, so too He is involved in your affairs. That's a blessing, and it's a promise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your Word. It's everlasting. It's unchanging. It's the only thing that we have in this entire earth that will live forever. And so, Father, as we come to these words and we read these words and we study these words, we thank You for the comfort that it brings. And Father, we ask You that You'll help us to grow in You, to trust in You, to believe more that You are faithful and You never change. And we thank You for that, Father. In Christ's name, amen.